And thank you for your generous giving faithfully to the Lord every week. Appreciate that. And as I look back on 2025, a lot has happened in our lives. Let me just turn this off real quick. There we go. A lot has happened in the Duncan household. We celebrated family birthdays, of course, and some anniversaries throughout the year. Julie and I went to a few concerts, Christian concerts, and they're a lot of fun. We got to watch our son play baseball in a men's fast pitch baseball league, which is really cool. We thought we put away our you know, those foldable chairs that you bring out to games. We thought we were done with that. He signed up for a league, and so we bought new ones and hung out watching him play baseball. It's awesome. And then Julie and I took a mini retreat together and a short getaway. We went, you know, I went to Poland and to Israel for 12 days with 27 other pastors. Simply amazing. My son and I went to Minnesota to see the Vikings lose to the Bears. But it was an exciting game. It was awesome just to be with my son in that stadium. We had family from Seattle come in for Thanksgiving, had a wonderful time, and those are just some of the highlights of our lives personally this past year in 2025. I think it's safe to say that 2025 was an incredibly challenging year in many ways for many in this room, including myself. We've all been touched by sad or bad news, like a cancer diagnosis. We felt the excruciating pain of someone we loved pass away. Remembering their death a year later, and now, you know, how the hole is still there in our hearts. We've been wrecked by multiple disappointments and discouragements, affected by work-related issues, financial setbacks and injustices. We've been affected by broken and complex relationship issues, influenced by what's happening wrong in our nation and in the world. In a lot of ways, we're glad that 2025 is over. But there is real value in looking in the rearview mirror of 2025. There's some value in that, in looking back. It's worth doing some evaluation and reflection in our lives. To look back and see how faithful God was to us in those dark valleys. To see how God is good in our lives in 2025, even though we didn't understand why we were going through what we were going through. Can you think of one thing from 2025 of God's faithfulness to you? Can you just think of that for a second? In your relationship with God, in your marriage, an answer to prayer in your family, something at work or at school, or in your body, in your finances. God's faithfulness to you in 2025. And you remember, you thank God for that. I've titled my message this morning, Journey of Faith. Journey of Faith. We're all on a journey in life. We're all going somewhere. This journey that we're on includes some mountaintop moments of joy and love and goodness where God simply amazes us. And this journey also includes moments in the dark valley of the shadow of death. This journey includes ordinary, mundane moments like work and bills and chores and laundry and grocery shopping and walking the dog and appointments. This journey also has the hectic and busy schedules. You know, time flies by. We're at the end of January almost already. And on this journey of faith, in what ways have we grown closer to God? How are we changing? Are we more grace-filled toward others? Is our hearts broken for those around us who don't know Jesus? Where is God taking you and me? are we following him or are we following ourselves? I understand these are challenging questions to ask ourselves, but that's what it means to evaluate the journey that we're on. I know a lot of us, we just want to get through the week. We just want to get through to the weekend so we can take a breath. But there's some value in evaluating where we've been and where we're going. As you remember, the overall theme for 2025 was what? Relationships. Relationships. God is passionate about his relationship with you and me. Now that, you've heard that before, and it maybe just goes, but understand, God is passionate. Unlike how we're passionate about deep dish pizza, or we're passionate about the Bears, or whatever that passion is, it pales in comparison to the passion that God has for you and for me. God directed Moses to chisel two stone tablets, and God himself would write on them the Ten Commandments. And this is what God said about his creation in the Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. You, talking about the people of Israel, us, you must worship no other gods but only the Lord, for he is a God who is passionate about his relationship with you. You see, God knew they and us would chase after other gods, small g, that would distract them and distract us away from himself. God knew that. God doesn't tolerate rivals but wants exclusive devotion from us. We began 2025 with a three-part series on our relationship with money. There is so much confusion and misunderstanding and a lack of knowledge of what Scripture has to say about money. A heart that is moved by God is generous, and it starts with the tithe, 10%. You see, a heart moved by God wants to build and to fuel the church, the mission here at Peace Chapel. You see, God is a generous God. God is not stingy. He is a generous God, and he expects us to have over and above generosity, like him, going beyond the tithe, giving toward missions and the ministries of Peace Chapel. And in handling finances God's way, Scripture tells us that money can corrupt our integrity, can it? It can make us proud. It can make us arrogant. It can cause materialism and greed to grow inside of us and cause us to trust in ourselves and not trust in God. How is your relationship with money? This past year, did you grow? Did I grow? We looked at a four-part series on our relationship with the church. Our relationship with the church. God wants us to change when we go through growing pains. To grow through the pain, not just go through the pain, but to grow through it. How many, with by a raised hand, you went through something difficult this past year? Okay. God wants you and me to grow through that. Growing pains. God wants us to mature by growing up, being discipled in his word. God desires that we use our influence for good by growing seeds, planting seeds and being an influence into our world. In Acts chapter 2, it describes how they met together daily, sharing with those in need by growing together in unity. They grew together not in uniformity, but in unity, diversity of unity. It's amazing what happened. How did they grow in unity? Well, together, right? How do we grow in unity? Together, we fight for unity. That kind of sounds like doesn't make sense, right? But we actually fight for unity. We protect the unity of the church by keeping unity. And together, we celebrate it. How is your relationship with the church? When Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he described the church in a two-part series. We talked about our relationship with the mission. Our relationship with the mission. Jesus called us, us, his disciples, the salt of the earth. How many like put salt on their food? Right? He called us the salt of the earth. We are to be seasoned with grace, seasoned with goodness, as we follow who? Jesus, right? Grace and goodness should be what we're all about. Jesus also called us, his apprentices, that's what we are, to shine bright the light. How do we do that? How do we shine bright the light, his light? Well, by not hiding the light from others. It means you walk out of these doors and you are still a follower of Jesus. You get in your car and you go to work and you go to your neighborhoods and you're still a light. You're still shining bright the light. You're not hiding it. It's by being a light to our families, by being a light to in this dark world. Listen to this. The church has lost its influence in the community because Christians have neglected their responsibility to be salt and light in the world. It's a sad reality. How is your relationship with the mission? Looking back, 2025, we continue the theme of relationships in a three-part series about our relationship with the resurrection. We ask the question, who do I worship? We're all designed to worship something or someone. Who do I worship? Do we really know Jesus? We ask the question, what do I need from Jesus? What do I need from him, right? Jesus took our suffering and our sorrows. Jesus offers forgiveness of sins. When he was on that cross, Jesus gives us peace with God, and Jesus provides healing for our bodies. This is what we need from Jesus. We ask the question, why? Why do I need a Savior? Because we're all guilty of sin. And because of that, we are separated from God. But Jesus, by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, he reunites us back to the Father. And he gives us eternal life to be with God forever in his forever family. How is your relationship with the resurrection, with Easter? How is that? Is it a reality in your life? Has it changed you? We dove into a five-part series on our relationship with hurry and how hurry is the real enemy of the soul. But the solution to our overbusy life is following the ways of Jesus. What are the ways of Jesus for us to follow? What are those ways? Well, two of them, silence and solitude. To be alone with God, free from distractions. We begin to face what's in our hearts. Oftentimes, we don't want to face what's in our hearts. We want to distract ourselves. We want to numb ourselves. We want to be addicted to something else because we don't want to face what's in here. But silence and solitude is clearing that out and truly hearing his voice. A couple of other practices of Jesus was this, simplicity and slowing. Simplicity and slowing. Simplicity means this, it's choosing. It's consciously choosing to leverage time and money and talents and possessions toward what really matters most. It's simplifying things. Slowing is cultivating patience by placing ourselves in places we must wait. Try that. That's very difficult. Another practice of Jesus, silence and solitude, simplicity and slowing. The last one was Sabbath. Sabbath is another practice of Jesus. It's about restfulness, not restlessness. Sabbath is blessed and it's holy by God. It's filling your soul back up with life. It's a gift, right? Sabbath is remembering that life is a gift to be delighted in, to be present. Sabbath is also about resisting hurry and busy and accumulating more and more and more and more. It's taking a deep breath and being with God. So how is your relationship with hurry? We did a four-part series on our relationship with observational learning. How we can learn from the different characters in the Bible for our lives today and how that translates. We looked at the life of Simeon. And like him, we are to be holy. We are to be devoted to God. To listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to us and to be obedient in his leading. We looked at Samuel, the prophet. We must follow Jesus if we're going to lead others. We must follow Jesus if we're going to lead others. We must be faithful to have the greatest impact. Think about that. Samuel was faithful. And we must humbly submit to the lordship of Jesus. We learned from some life lessons from Saul in the Old Testament. And that God has the answer for our problems. Somebody needs to hear that today. God has the answer to your problem. God will supply your need. God will equip you with the power to serve him. And lastly, we learned some life lessons from Stephen, the first Christian martyr. God's grace fills us with faith and the Holy Spirit. God's grace fills us with power and wisdom. And God's grace fills us with boldness. And God's grace fills us to pray for others. That was the life of Stephen. So my question, how is your relationship with learning God's word and the different characters in the Bible? Moving along, we covered a four-part series in our relationship with work. From the very beginning, God created, God worked, and he put the first humans in charge to work the ground and to name the animals. But sin changed everything. And through this relationship of work, right, work fulfills God's purposes, which connects us to our true identity, made in the image of God. Work is not a curse. It feels like it. But it's not a curse because Adam worked the ground before sin entered it. But sin did change everything. Work also produces excellence. It pursues excellence by working hard and putting our souls into what we do. It's out of reverence to God, and it's working with the highest standards of integrity and ethics. There's purpose behind it. There's excellence. What else does work do? Work blesses others by humbly pointing people to Jesus in how we work. Jesus came as an offering to serve others, and that's our invitation too. And the way we work should point others to Jesus. I was at Portillo's yesterday, really good hot dog place, and I noticed a worker there. He was older, and he was just hustling, refilling the napkin dispensers, and he noticed a spill over there, and so he disappeared, came back with a mop, and as he passed by, I said, "Man, I appreciate your hustle." He smiled, and he just mopped it up, put a caution sign, and kept going. Right? I noticed it, but it blesses others. Work advances the mission by loving God and loving people. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How did we do this week? Yikes, right? But it also is about loving people as we love ourselves. How do we do this week with that? How is our relationship with work? Flying through the year here, we talked about a six-part series on our relationship with relationships. We are to practice the golden rule. What's the golden rule? That was absolutely pitiful. All I heard was this. You know the teacher from Peanuts? Wah, 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 wah. That's all I heard. Do unto others as... We, as a church, are to practice the golden rule for my church family, for my church family. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, we're family." Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, we're family." Somebody, you need to wake them up next to you. Okay, all right. This is what we're supposed to do. Speak life to my church family. Speak life. So what are we not doing? We're not speaking death. we're speaking life to our church family. So the golden rule for my church family, speak life to my church family, and we are to resolve conflict biblically with our church family. Guess what? Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes there's conflict. No secret there, right? God's word is clear what to do. We talked about in my singleness, right? Our highest calling above marriage is to follow Jesus. Single, married, divorced, divorced again, widowed. Our highest calling goes above all of that to Jesus. If you're single, don't live as if you're married. And if you're married, don't live as if you're single. In my marriage relationship, right, couples must learn to practice the skills of marriage that will cause love to mature. My father-in-law, Pastor Jim, spoke that message. In my family, my nuclear family, God needs to be the center of our family, raising our kids or our grandkids to be the church, not just attend church sporadically, but to be the church. Our relationship with my friendships, we must choose friendships carefully, love our friendships continually, and remember the wounds from our friendships are trustworthy. And lastly, we must have a relationship with us, myself, yourself, by recognizing God's love for us, that nothing can ever separate us from his love. We must see our worth in God's eyes alone, that we are God's masterpiece. And through that, we can love others because Jesus first loved us. So, how is your relationship in your life, the relationships in your life? We heard a four-part series on our relationship with what we believe. Beliefs govern the way we live our lives, giving us direction. Humanity's only hope of redemption is through the shed blood of Jesus by saving us through salvation. Our repentance restores us to God. When it comes to water baptism, when it comes to Holy Communion, guess what? Someone must die. Let me explain that. When we are identifying with Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection through water baptism. In receiving Holy Communion together, we're remembering the death of Jesus. As believers, we are entitled to Holy Spirit baptism. As believers, we should expect the baptism in the Holy Spirit. As believers, we should earnestly seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as believers, this experience was in the early Christian church. It's nothing to be afraid of. There's no fear there. And with it comes the endowment of power for life and service to God. See, this process of maturing in the Lord is also called sanctification. It's a very big word, but it's to be set apart, which is our highest goal. Our highest goal is not retirement. Our highest goal is not financial security. Our highest goal is not perfect health. Our highest goal is not a perfect family. Those are great things. But above that, God is wanting you and I to reflect the holiness of God, to be holy. That's it. By imitating God, as we reflect the holiness of God, it's based on our identification with Christ, and the Holy Spirit separates us for a divine purpose. We're set apart. We're being sanctified. How many would say that's still happening in your life? Both hands are up. So how is the relationship with what you believe? Do you know what you believe and why? We continued with a four-part series on our relationship with prayer. As a collection of believers, not individual prayer, which is good and important, but as a church. In the prayer of adoration, we gather at church to meet with God together. And adoration asks the question, do we know who we're praying to? Do you remember? Do you know who we're praying to? In the prayer of confession, we confess our sin. We grow in this new freedom, and we're more gracious and able to be real with God, together. Because confession, we think, me too, right? We're all guilty of sin. We all struggle. We all have temptations, right? In the prayer of thanksgiving, we understand that God has no obligation to do anything good for any of us. And it asks the question, why me, God? Why me, God? And we can respond to God's grace with a discouraged heart. Why me? Why me? Why am I going through this? A discouraged heart. And listen, we've all been there. There's nobody that said, oh, that's not me. Yeah, you have been there. Why me? We can respond with an entitled heart. Why am I going through this? I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. Why am I going through this? Kind of an entitled heart. Or we can respond to God's grace with a humble heart. Why me, Lord? Why do you love me? Thanksgiving. In the prayer of supplication, this is what that does. This is what that prayer does. It allows us to unburden ourselves to God. No doubt in this room right here, you have burdens that are weighing you down. They're not physically on your back, but they're weighing you down. And Jesus is inviting you to unburden them onto Him. That's what supplication is. That's what intercession is. It's declaring, God, we need your help. God, we need your help. So when you pray, just remember ACTS, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's an easy way to formulate a prayer if you're at home to pray through that. How is your relationship with prayer? The last four-part series was with our relationship with Advent, Christmas. Advent means the arrival of a notable person, event, or thing. We wait with hope based on the goodness and faithfulness of God. We have peace with God because Jesus made a way for us to be restored. God's gift of His very own Son to us was given with love. And because of that, we can serve with joy and be changed by Christmas. How is your relationship with Advent? If you were here, we had the manger right underneath the cross. It's all connected. And God did it all for love. He was born because He loves you. And He died because He loves you. And He rose again because He loves you. And He offers hope. So if you missed a Sunday or two or more, you can go back and hear these messages in more detail on the church's website, pcmorris.org. PC stands for pcchapelmorris.org. Very simple, pcmorris.org. You click on the messages tab at the top, and then you click the red box for all of 2025 messages. And those are all grouped in series title. You're like, hey, I didn't catch that one. Let me go back and listen to it. We'd encourage you to do that. So as we look in the rearview mirror of 2025, I know we're 18 days into 2026, Peace Chapel also had some highlights. Four people that we know of gave their heart to Jesus. That's awesome. We had two people get water baptized. We also had six people become new members of Peace Chapel. Many of you are personally giving toward missions and our missionaries on a weekly or monthly basis. We had our own missionaries, Brian White, who is a missionary to French-speaking churches here in the States. And we also had Jim Brown, who is an Illinois Rural Ministries missionary. And they came and they shared their hearts with us. We had many guests come to a service in 2025. We honored all of our junior high school, and college graduates. We started a young adult small group on Sunday nights. Yeah, awesome. We had breakfasts for men because they like to eat. And we had some ladies' events throughout the year. I wasn't going to say that. We hosted our East Terrific Egg Hunt and our Trunk or Treat for the community. Our PC kids joined us for Family Sundays, leading us in song. helping with the ushering. Our PC youth experienced teen camp. They experienced Momentum Youth Conference. And many supporters, many of you supported our youth with their different fundraisers, so thank you for doing that. We enjoyed time around the table with potlucks and a picnic. Always, always tasty good food. Thank you for bringing your specialty. We gave to We Care to help our Grundy community, and to the benevolence offering toward, you know, helping those in our own church. We did that together. And throughout this year, we've seen God answer prayers for healing. You know, here's a stack of prayer cards that I talked about just a few minutes ago. We keep them. I want to show you that God sees these. I know it's paper and it's pen, and you've probably forgotten whatever you asked for in prayer, but God hasn't. And know that these are being prayed for. This is not something blah, 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 when I stand and talk about the prayer cards. These are prayers of you and others believing God for a miracle. I don't want to embarrass her this morning, but Shan, a few weeks back, was in a terrible auto accident where she rolled her car and walked away without a scratch. God answers prayer. Were they praying that God protect her as she travels? I don't know if they were or not, but it's okay to pray. But God was there. God answers prayer. We've seen God meet many needs in this church. God is faithful. It's not me. It's not this church. It's not you. It's God. He gets all the glory, the credit. And I believe, I know I'm the pastor, but I believe God wants to do more in 2026. Journey of faith. Journey of faith. Notice the graphic on the screens. It's moving. A journey is not stopping. We're moving. I would venture to say if you are stopping in your journey with God, you're going backwards. We constantly need to move forward. Just where are you going on your journey of faith? You, I'm not talking to the masses here. You, where are you going in your journey of faith? Are you growing in our relationship with God? How are you growing? Are we growing in our love for one another? In what ways? Are we committed to attending church together faithfully? Let's do what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other. How many need encouragement from time to time? Especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. Let's not make gathering for church an option. Let's commit. Your church attendance will not save you. Your church attendance, you're not gaining points up in heaven because you attend church. But the Bible is clear. It says you should not. You should come together to be encouraged, to worship, to pray one for another. Are we in a small group or a class growing and praying together? This is my challenge for 2026. Are we serving in a ministry, using our gifts for the Lord? Well, I don't have any gifts. That's a lie from the enemy. God has given you gifts. Yes. You need to be serving in a ministry. Are we consistently obedient in giving back God's tithes and our offerings? Are we consistent? Are we not doing it drudgingly and under obligation, but because we want to? Can I say this morning? The greatest mission in the world isn't humanitarian relief. It's not feeding the hungry. It's not education. It's not healthcare. It's not medicine or politics. The greatest mission in the world from the beginning of time is for you and me to give our lives to the mission of Christ's church. That's the greatest mission. Well, easy for you to say. You're the pastor on the platform. That's what God says. And through the church, our church, we can help others in need. We can feed others. We can educate and help heal our broken world. What are you spending your life on? What are you spending your life on? What legacy do you want to leave before you leave this planet? Do you want to invest in something bigger than you by investing in a local church and saying, I had my time, I served, but now I want others to come behind me. I want to see young families, and I want to invest in them. My prayer is that together we continue to commit and renew our hearts and minds with God's word to become more like Jesus. That our hearts break for what breaks God's heart. We need to be the church to a dying community and world around us. Be the church to the hurting and the confused and the disillusioned and the lonely and the lost. Be the church. We have an hour and 15 minutes together. This is not enough. You're commissioned to go out those doors and be the church. This is the locker room. And there's your coach saying, you can do it. God's equipped you. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Be the light. Be the salt. Wherever you go, Portillo's, the library, work, school, the bank, Jewel, Walmart, be the light. Be salt. Be Christ. Be looking for people to say, hey, you have a church home? You go to church? Are you a person of faith? Come to our church. We'd love to have you. Let's believe as the Apostle Paul did when he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you and me, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is not done with you. And God is not done with me. And God is certainly not done with Peace Chapel. And I still believe that the best is yet to come. I know that's cliche. I know that's just blah, blah, blah at times, but I believe that. I don't know how. I don't know what God wants to do. But we can't stop. We can't go backwards. We've got to keep moving in this journey of faith. And it needs all of us to be a part of that. I believe the best is yet to come. Let's pray.